Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome to Where To Go. I'm James Atkinson, brand manager at DK Eyewitness.
And I'm Lucy Richards, senior editor at DK Eyewitness.
Welcome to our second season. So if you haven't listened before, every fortnight we'll be virtually visiting a different destination from around the world, speaking to residents who know that place best. So Lucy, it's our second season.
Yeah, it's really lovely to be back, James.
It's really lovely to be back, just when London's starting to get sunny again.
Exactly.
And
where
travel might seem like not too sort of distant a possibility after the cold sort of winter months we've had.
It's been a hard winter, so I'm feeling very hopeful. I'm feeling very excited about season two and us ultimately travelling the world together virtually.
Yes, absolutely. And how many destinations do you think you're going to be adding to
list? My list is so long, it is as long as my arm, so it'll just get longer and longer. You know what I'm like.
Yes, I do. So you know, joining us today to discuss her native Iceland, so another destination that we're probably going to add to your list,
Yes. Is
photographer and influencer Ailsa Steinars.
Yes, so known as the land of fire and ice, Iceland is a country of extremes, with the small island home to some of the world's most active volcanoes, huge glaciers and unique scenery, which has fascinated visitors the world over. And the country is also increasingly known for its art and culture scene, with Cosmopolitan Reykjavik in particular hosting excellent restaurants, museums, concert venues and galleries.
So without further ado, our first guest of season two, welcome Ailsa.
Hello.
Hi, Ailsa.
Hi.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us all the way from Iceland. And I believe you're on volcano watch right now, right?
Yeah, I am. Yeah, they say that a volcano is about to erupt any hour now, or like in the next couple of hours.
Wow. That's
So are you on your way, Ailsa? Are you running from it or towards it?
Yeah, so I'm actually running from it, but that I didn't want to. Like, I didn't know that there was about to come an eruption, so I'm heading in the opposite direction, but I might turn around now and be in the city, actually.
Oh, well, if the podcast stops suddenly, you know, Ailsa's turned the car around and went to go visit. So,
So before we get into talking about Iceland and volcanoes, just to quickly explain the format today, we're going to explore the past, present and future of Iceland, discussing what makes it such a unique destination, life outside of COVID-19, how the island has responded to the events of the past year and what travellers can expect to do when they return.
For context, we're recording this in early March. So whereas Iceland's cases of COVID-19 remain comparatively low compared to the rest of the world, travel is currently not a possibility for many, including from the UK and USA. Passengers are required to show certificates of negative PCR tests, have to undergo double COVID testing procedures along with a quarantine period of 5 to 6 days. So basically, it's not really possible just yet.
No, but there is initial optimism stemming from the various COVID-19 vaccination programs. And, well, we just personally hope that international travel may return later in 2021.
Cool. So, yeah, without further ado, let's discuss all things Iceland. So in this first section, we're going to discuss Iceland kind of outside of the lens of the pandemic and what makes it so unique. So Ása, to start with, I know you sort of grew up in the north of Iceland. And looking into it, Iceland's kind of divided into a couple of different areas, and there's amazing kind of geography across all of them. And the north is particularly like kind of peppered with wild landscapes and extreme weather. So what was it kind of like growing up there?
Yeah, like looking back, I don't remember the weather that particularly. I think like you're just a kid and you enjoy being outside no matter what the weather is. And my childhood is actually a little bit divided. I was actually born in Norway and lived there until I was 7 years old.
Okay.
And then I moved to Iceland, when I was seven. So I was a bit of a Norwegian in me when I came back to Iceland. And the Norwegians have a very great mindset towards weather. They always say that there's no such thing as bad weather, only bad clothing. and I think that is still like a characteristic of mine, that the weather never stops me, but I still find that it stops my Icelandic friends. And I'm obviously an Icelander, but a bit of Norwegian background. So
cool.
But yeah, I mean, today and even when you were a kid, the most exciting thing would be a massive snowstorm and wake up and you would have to like shovel yourself out of the house or something. So I love extreme weathers, and you just need to know how to be safe and read into it.
How deep can the snow be in Iceland? How like how many feet or meters are we talking?
Like houses can be fully snowed up, but that not necessarily because of a lot of snow, but more due to the wind. So the wind creates these massive snow piles. So last winter we had a very, very extreme winter and houses were fully covered. So like you wouldn't even have a window view anymore. And we also had some pretty bad avalanches. Like one avalanche hit a town. And when the snow went rushing into people's homes. So it's definitely an extreme environment. And then this winter is the opposite, a lot more rainy and warm. But what Icelanders say, they say like an extreme winter never comes two times in a row. And it seems to be the case. Like I've never seen that happen. So this year is a lot rainier.
Okay.
So next winter might be.
Yeah, hopefully. The snow is a lot more fun.
And kind of when did you, I know you said you sort of initially grew up in Norway, when did you realize kind of how the rest of the world sees Iceland and how, kind of how unique it is as a place in the world?
I think when tourism started, honestly, and tourism started there quite late. It wasn't until like 2010 where Iceland got properly on the map. Up until then, I thought Iceland was pretty lame and I was traveling a lot around the world. And my friends were always asking me like, oh, I would like to visit you in Iceland. And I used to tell them like, no, like, come on, there's nothing to do in Iceland. Because I used to measure it from like the club size. Like, we don't even have clubs or decent parties. Like, let's go somewhere else, you know. but then, of course, when Iceland went viral in the media, then as an Icelander, you saw all the people writing those things about the Northern Lights and the waterfalls. And I'm still realizing it today, how interesting my photos are to some people that have maybe never seen a black beach before. They've never seen a glacier or even snow. And I'm just so used to this. So I'm still realizing how people from around the world see Iceland. And it's pretty unique.
It doesn't sound like you plan on leaving Alster. It sounds like you're very much, you're very happy in Iceland. You want to stay there? Is that fair?
Well, that has kind of changed throughout my life. Like some period in my life, I used to use every opportunity to leave Iceland and escape and travel. And I am really happy here. And I absolutely love Iceland, but I still think there's always this like feeling inside of me that I would love to try to live in more places. And I've always enjoyed traveling. And I think it also comes after a long, dark winter because the daylight is so limited.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then you spend another winter in Iceland and you think to yourself, like, oh, I had really promised myself to never spend the whole winter here again. It's like, I don't know, the darkness can get to you a little bit. But it also comes with this upside, so.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I mean, I think that's how a lot of people feel every winter about wherever they are, especially after the last year where we haven't really been able to escape that much as well.
Very true.
Yeah, and I mean, with COVID, I'm also just learning to stay put and just enjoying that I'm here, you know? So I think this is also like a good lesson to just stop always having that urge of leaving somewhere and thinking that it's going to be so much better,
very
you know?
Very true. Yeah. Yeah. Very true.
Yeah. And obviously, you kind of you have a huge online community and that you kind of almost, you know, give guided tours in a way through Iceland, through your life in Iceland. But a big thing that underpins that is your amazing photography. And kind of when did you start to become interested in that? And when did you sort of start to shoot around Iceland as well?
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you so much. So my interest in photography it started really early, like when I was quite young, and I asked to borrow some cameras from my dad and I took them to like summer camps. And I remember he told me that he thought my photos, like this time I'm very young, I'm like 10 or 11. And he said my photos were very boring because I just photographed things and landscape. So he told me like the photo will always be more interesting if you put a person into your photos. So then I started doing that a little bit. And I remember like when the first digital cameras came to the market, my parents gave me a camera. So like cameras have followed me through my whole life. But for a very long time, I was terrible at it. And like for way too long, honestly. But it really started when I did like a 15-month trip around Asia, actually. So I was just on the road for like 15 months. And so there I was photographing a lot. My editing style back then was terrible, but that's kind of when I like started Instagram. And then in 2016, I think that's when I come back to Iceland after that long trip. I had been away for over a year. And then Instagram is picking up and interest in Iceland is also picking up. So it was kind of for me the perfect timing that I saw that people were very interested in Iceland. I had already been trying to grow an Instagram following through my year in Asia. And then all of a sudden I was back home in Iceland. And that's when things started happening and people were more and more interested in the photos. And I improved as a photographer. So that has been like an ongoing project since like, 2015, 2016.
It's great to hear the background. There's hope for us all, James. Maybe you and I will grow our, improve our photography, grow our followers.
I was thinking exactly the same, but no, I don't think there's any hope for my photography. I know we're here to talk about Iceland, but actually I'm really, really interested. Like where did you visit on that Southeast Asia trip and where did you go?
Yeah. Oh, like it was so fun. We went to a lot of places and back then I was traveling like with an ex-boyfriend who was also very adventurous and we kind of both decided that we wanted to go like off the beaten path. So we started in the Middle East and spent some time in Dubai and Oman. And then from Oman, we flew over to Iran. So we spent 1 month in Iran and did a lot of couchsurfing there. And that was super interesting. And then we did Japan, China, Mongolia, Philippines, Sri Lanka, India, Nepal. Just so many places. And we even did North Korea.
Oh, really?
Wow.
How was that?
yeah, it was, I mean, just crazy and interesting. And obviously, I was also interested in photography then. So I took a lot of photos, actually, and was quite fearless at the time, just photographed everything and even got told off a few times. But yeah, I was going through the photos a while ago, and it's still just this strange feeling you get when you look through them, you know. But yeah, it was just interesting. I think that's all I can say.
How long was that trip for? It must have been months.
Yeah, like the whole Asia trip was like, 15 months.
Wow. Mm. Oh, wow. That's amazing, though, that you had all of that time as well to be country hopping and couch surfing. How cool.
Yeah, we traveled slow and on budget.
Nice.
Yeah. And was it kind of improvised as well? Like, did you just kind of...
Oh, yeah. We never had any plan, like, at all.
Wow.
Incredible. Yeah. And so you kind of you do that amazing trip, go to mostly lots of like very warm, hot locations as well, and then come back home and start your kind of work. Where did you sort of start kind of shooting in Iceland? What were the first places? Did you kind of go on some of the more tourist friendly locations, or did you start to go off the beaten track in Iceland too?
Yeah. I think with Iceland, I started on, the most known places and the most recognized places. Mm. And I mean, they are famous for a reason. It's truly beautiful, like the black beach and the waterfalls. Like in Iceland, there was just so much incredible nature all over. And I think also after I came back from that long trip, I started appreciating Iceland so much more. Because after traveling so long, and maybe you had to do a 2-day train ride to get to a beautiful place. But like when you're in Iceland, the places, they're just all over. They're so accessible. There's so much nature. There's so much to see everywhere. So I think to begin with, I just photographed all over, and all over means really beautiful places, basically.
Yeah, because the island isn't that big, is it? It's quite easy to kind of drive across quite quickly.
Yeah, I think people are doing like the whole ring road in 10 days. Mm. But if you want to, you can do it in 2 days, you know. So it's not that big. But still, it's big. It isn't big, but there's so much to see. So even if I'm on the road all the time, I'm still discovering new places, and there's still places that I haven't been to that I want to visit. So that's really amazing, I think.
Oh, that's really cool. Yeah.
Where do you tell people, like first-time visitors to Iceland, Elsa, where would you tell them to go in Iceland? Where would you say you mustn't miss this place or this scene?
Mm-hmm. For travelers that maybe don't have that much time, if they have 4 or 5 days, I would definitely tell them to drive the south coast, because then you just get a little bit of everything. You get the black beaches, you get the glaciers, you get the waterfalls, and you can do it in 4 or 5 days. If you have more time, I would definitely tell people to just do the whole ring road, because then you make it to the east fjords, and you get like a fjord scenery and the glacier lagoon. And then if you continue even further up north, you have a lot different environment. It's a lot more volcanoes, geothermal heat, like, and the landscape changes from black to like red and a lot of smoke.
Wow.
So, oh, cool. So the ring road is really perfect. And but the ring road is like one trip, but then there's also a lot of other trips that you can do, like into the highlands, up to the west fjords. So,
wow.
I recommend more than one trip to Iceland.
Yeah, there sounds like there's many possibilities there. And I was just going to ask quickly, what about kind of Reykjavik as well? Because I know you mentioned there's not really clubs and bars and stuff in Iceland necessarily, but I know Reykjavik is it's kind of increasingly a cosmopolitan sort of city in its own right as well.
Yeah, Reykjavik is really nice, and a lot going on in terms of innovation and artists, and If you're into that kind of things, there's a lot of art festivals, film festivals. There's also quite a famous music festival called Iceland Airwaves.
Yes, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, and those concerts, they don't happen typically in clubs. It's more like cute cafes and bars, and you're like bar hopping.
That's so cool.
Yeah, and I mean, I enjoy Reykjavik, and again, I definitely started appreciating it more when I became older, you know. When you were younger, it's like you look at it as your small town, like there's nothing happening there. But
Yeah.
Of course.
Gonna say, I think there's a certain almost like obsession outside of Iceland with like kind of Icelandic cool and and art and music and so on. So and I know Reykjavik is at the hub of that, even though it's quite a small city by European sort of standards.
Mm-hmm. What about food and drink, Elsa? I don't really know very much about Icelandic food and drink. What should visitors definitely try, or what might surprise them about Icelandic cuisine?
There's, for example, in Reykjavik, there's so many new restaurants now, and I think the quality of the restaurants and food is really high, and often for, you know, quite a decent price. Or like what I've noticed is that if you go to a really fancy restaurant, it's not that much of a price different from a really fancy one to like a bistro. So I would almost recommend travelers to just go to the fancy one and experience, like, Iceland is famous for its fish and lamb. So we eat a lot of lamb meat, and our the lambs and the sheep, they roam freely during the summer up to the highlands. So it's very, like, it's very much part of the culture. And the sheep are eating, you know, the special Icelandic grass in the highlands, and live a pretty decent life. So I try to pick, if I'm eating meat, to pick lamb meat from Iceland.
Yeah.
Then the fish, and then we have a lot of old traditional Icelandic food, which can be quite fun to taste if you're visiting. I'm not a big fan, though.
But that's is there an example of it? Is there anything particularly weird and wonderful?
It's a lot of things. I mean, it's a lot of fermented food. We have fermented shark. That has been quite famous among travelers, because that's the Greenland shark, which can live to be like 400 or 500 years old.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Wow. Yes.
And it tastes of, like, the taste of the meat is like ammoniac. Because, like, I think they don't have kidneys, so they just sweat the urine through their skin.
Oh, I see.
So actually, like, if you eat it without fermenting it, the meat would kill you. Like, it's poisonous.
Wow.
Wow.
So that's also part of the Icelandic tradition, to take these sharks, ferment the meat. So that's something you have to try. But I mean, I have friends that actually like this type of food. I didn't grow up to it, so I struggle. but then a lot of parts of the sheep, you know, the intestines and the head of the sheep, you know, like, people will eat literally the face.
God. So, is it easy to be veggie in Iceland, or is actually that quite difficult to be a vegetarian?
I think it's quite easy, and it's definitely becoming more and more easy. I'm thinking some years back, it was definitely not easy, and I've spoken about this to my grandparents. I mean, there was no chance of being a vegetarian in Iceland.
Of course.
But now there's a lot more awareness, so there's more options, and both in terms of restaurants, but also in supermarkets and stuff, so...
Cool.
So yeah, I would say it's quite easy.
Good.
Awesome. And I think finally on this kind of section, like, lots of people kind of have Iceland on their sort of bucket lists, and really kind of, you know, think about the sort of black beaches, glaciers, and so on. But is there anything that would in particular surprise visitors potentially about Iceland that they might not know about?
Yeah. Well, there are a few things. Like, one thing is that when you shower in Iceland, for example, our water is naturally heated. It just comes from the ground. So,
oh, really?
Yeah. Wow. So the water has this rotten egg smell.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Of course. Yeah.
So that comes from like sulfur in the water. So my foreign friends, they always comment on it if they're sleeping the first night in my house and taking a shower. And same if you drive around the country and you just have the fan ventilation going on, you will have that smell sometimes in the car if you're driving past geothermal areas.
Yeah. Oh, really? With like the air kind of coming in and passing through.
Yeah. So people are always a bit surprised, like, what smell is that? And I like that smell because to me that just means home, you know, it's like nostalgic.
Yes. Mm.
But sure. My friends are like, sure. They have to like cover their nose.
Could be another use for a face mask.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And then I would probably say the weather, I think.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I think if you visit in winter and you haven't experienced such extreme weather, you probably could be surprised about it. Also that it's almost always windy here. So that's just part of life, you know, that, you know, yeah, wind is just a part of being in Iceland. It's quite rare to get days without wind. And
I guess, is it something that you don't even think about now, really, in terms of...
Well, I think about it when you have non-windy days, then you think about how nice this is, you know.
But those are few and far between, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. And then I've also heard from friends that just how many hot springs Iceland has.
And
how that you can just be driving on the main road of Iceland and then you can park your car and walk a few steps and you're in a hot spring.
Wow.
Yeah, so... So that's truly amazing and might come as a surprise.
Sounds amazing. Well, thanks for... That's a beautiful picture that you've sort of painted of Iceland there. and we'll sort of talk about, we'll touch on like kind of the present and then go back to discussing what an amazing place Iceland is.
Yeah.
So we're now going to quickly touch on the events of the past year and how Iceland has responded to the COVID-19 pandemic. So, Elsa, how have you found living in Iceland during 2020? How has the virus, you know, impacted everyday life there?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so in Iceland, in my opinion, it has been a really good place to be in 2020 and now 2021. In terms of that, we have been quite lucky. So it hasn't of course it has changed our lives a lot, but what I really value is that we're still so free to travel and roam freely. So it has more been like the social factor has gone down. But last spring, when the virus came to Iceland through a lot of ski holidays in the Alps, then it was really new and Iceland went into, we've never been into a lockdown, but restaurants and bars have been closed. And I think the lowest the limitation went down to was max 5 people together.
Okay.
Okay.
But still in supermarkets and so on, it could be more. And then right now we have kind of been COVID free. So today and the last month or so. So now we're up to, we are allowed to be 50 people together. I would be allowed to host a 50 person party and not be illegal.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
I just can't imagine that at the minute. We're not allowed to have one other person inside your house.
Yeah, exactly. And I was in a party the other day. And it just, it felt so strange. We were talking about it, we were all sitting there together and we were wow, this is so weird. You feel you're doing something you shouldn't be doing. So now gyms have opened up again and restaurants and even bars have opened up. So right now I'm super thankful. It's just, very little COVID at the moment. And I would say big applause to our government because they have handled this really well. a lot of the tourism industry is not happy of like how strictly we kind of closed our borders. But in terms of people living here, the Icelandic government, they've had a 3-person team with daily online meetings like that are live, giving Iceland an update on the situation and giving the general public opportunity to ask questions. And then if anyone gets sick, they have a tracing team. So they trace every single virus case.
Yeah.
So it has just been super well handled, which is probably why it didn't spread at all.
That's amazing. I mean,
yeah, it's remarkable. Yeah.
It sounds like kind of everything that could have gone right, they've managed to go through it almost.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, now if you want to travel to Iceland, you need to do 2 tests and quarantine for 5 days. And I would also argue that if you have a lot of vacation gathered from, I mean, a whole year of not traveling, then I like going through those double testing plus 5 days of quarantine might be worth to just travel to Iceland for, because you could spend it in a cabin, go for a walk, and then in 5 days you're free to travel the country. So
that sounds so wonderful. So I can't tell you.
Yeah.
Will I be seeing you in a cabin in Iceland recording the next podcast, Lucy? <That's it.
laughs> Yeah. About to book my annual leave.
Yeah.
No, it's a very good point, actually. I mean, I think, because tourism is a big, big sort of industry in Iceland. It's, and has it been kind of quite strange with, like, has that been one of the main differences, really, that kind of absence of tourists?
Yeah, I mean, I remember last spring when Iceland was closed and you were like, processing all of this information, we're like, wow, what's happening? So we saw Iceland becoming emptier and emptier in a few days, and I was like, wow, I mean, I haven't seen the main places in Iceland empty since I was like 20 years old, or like 19 years old. So in the beginning I was like, oh my god, now I have to travel Iceland and photograph all these places empty. And here we are almost a year later and the situation is the same.
But that was kind of be my question. Have you enjoyed actually sort of being forced not to be able to travel and actually being forced to kind of enjoy your, you know, where you live and the nature around you? Because I feel like we've all slightly relied upon that. But I mean, Iceland is a land of extremes and stunning. Did you feel like you had this amazing place kind of almost to yourself?
Yeah, I mean, that is how it has felt like. And I mean, at some moments, you've almost just felt guilty about it. You know, we are here in Iceland and we can run around and we have all this amazing scenery to ourselves, you know. But overall, yeah, it has been quite enjoyable, actually. And it's going to be a shock for the people living in Iceland. I mean, we're not a big nation. For the tourism to return. I mean, we had gotten used to it, but the tourism industry in Iceland is just so big. It's much bigger than our population. So it's it's going to be strange to see Iceland go back to normal.
Yeah, shock. Sure.
Yeah, it certainly sounds, well, I know that kind of people are really, really keen to come over, and I think and I was going to say, have people actually, even with the PCR tests and with and so on, are people starting to come back now?
Yeah, so I mean, when I'm on the road, I definitely see travelers. But it's just different. I mean, now you're more likely to actually go and have a chat with them, you know, like, oh, where are you from? And how did That's you nice. Decide to come to Iceland? So we were just sitting in a jacuzzi the other day, and I think we were the only Icelanders there. And you're always so interested, like, do you live here or did you actually travel here? But I have also 3 friends from Germany that are actually traveling around Iceland now. They're also photographers, and clearly they just went through the double testing and 5-day quarantine, and I think people that have a lot of maybe annual leave, they might go for that option.
So it can be done.
I also just love how casually Alcy just dropped in, you know, just sitting in a jacuzzi. Love it. Absolutely love it.
And I guess for those who, because you have a sort of big following and obviously talk to people around the world, have you seen like a kind of, you know, lots of love for Iceland over the past year from sort of international community? And have your photos kind of felt like you've connected some people to Iceland when they haven't necessarily been able to be there?
Yeah, you get comments like that from people that they enjoy seeing the nature, maybe watching my stories. And I mean, I hope that's some value that I can give, that, you know, hopefully connect people to nature. And I've also gotten some messages where people say, like, you've just inspired me to explore more nature close to my home. And that, I think, is very fun to hear.
That's feeling rewarding.
Because I just know how good I feel when I'm out in nature and being active. And it doesn't always need to be the most extraordinary places, but just try to encourage people to go out and, yeah, value beautiful nature.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
So what next for Iceland? So we know that, you know, lots of travellers are itching to go to Iceland right now. During sort of like the last year, we sort of touched on sort of some your sort of community and people kind of getting in touch with you and talking about sort of like their willingness to kind of get back to nature and stuff. But what do you think has made Iceland sort of trend over the last couple of months, or even over the past couple of years? I mean, it's grown exponentially as a sort of traveling destination.
Yeah. Like, what originally put Iceland on the map was like two events. It was first the financial crash, which we came very badly out of.
Yeah.
And then, secondly, the volcano that erupted in 2010.
Yeah.
That stopped all flight traffic in Europe. So I remember that's when Iceland came on the map as a tourist destination. People were just more aware of this island in the middle of nowhere.
It was huge news at the time. It grounded like nearly every flight across Europe for a while.
Yeah, and I mean, as an Icelander, we had never been in the news before, and we were like, oh my, they're talking about us, you know. We felt all so proud, and tourists started coming, and it's been, I mean, yeah, what, like 11 years of tourism industry. I mean, it's so young. It hasn't been for that long time. But I think lately, I think social media has a big role to play.
Yeah.
And obviously, a lot of photographers that are photographing for social media, they love coming to Iceland. And I mean, every photo you take just turns out beautiful. There's so many places. And yeah, so I think social media contributes to it quite a lot. And I'm also just hoping that, like, the next generations, they're maybe choosing a bit different adventures, you know? I feel like when I was young, you were so set on maybe a beach party trip, but I feel like the generations that are coming now, they're more seeking adventures.
Yeah.
And I think even more with COVID, like in Iceland, there's so much space. You never feel like you're in a crowd or crammed in. So I think even now, when maybe some people are still like nervous about the virus, in Iceland, you just have so much air and and nature and space. So you forget about the whole thing almost.
Yeah.
The opposite of like your living room. That's, And so say I was kind of like planning to make a trip when we can go and stuff and or, you know, or when everyone's ready to go. Like I've heard sort of inspired by Iceland talk about like Iceland as like a kind of all year round destination. How sort of true is that? Or is there like a kind of best time of year in your opinion to visit?
Yeah. So in my opinion, I mean, I obviously feel like summer is the best time. Simply because, I don't know, Iceland is all of a sudden just so nice, you know, the grass gets greener, we have the midnight sun, so it doesn't get dark during the night, it just feels like the daylight lasts forever, so you feel so energized, you feel like you can see so many things in one day, because you have daylight from morning till evening. So I think in terms of efficiency, also summer is really good because with all that daylight, you can see so much. But obviously, I also really, really love winter because winter to me is just so special. It's less daylight, but in my opinion, the daylight is so magical. You know, the sun is just at the horizon. So you have that sunset vibe the whole day.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah.
So really like this pink light, and in winter you're more likely to see reindeers because they come down from the mountains. There's ice caving season, so you can only visit the ice caves during the winter months. It's the northern lights, so it's like there's pros of cons with each season.
The casual way you drop that in there.
Yeah, that's the northern lights. Yeah,
just another item on the list.
I know.
Yeah, exactly.
I know it's quite hard because obviously we haven't really had any events. But are there any events on the calendar also that people can look forward to over the next kind of year or 18 months? You mentioned like a music festival, for example. Is that going ahead or anything like that?
I mean, I'm not sure if it's going ahead yet. I mean, maybe. But like an event that I'm looking forward to is that like last summer I did invite a lot of my friends, international friends, to come to Iceland and we would drive together in camper vans.
Cool.
So we actually did that last summer when Iceland had an opening, like you could actually come in here on one test. So and that's actually an event that I'm planning to host.
Great.
So I'm hoping that it can go ahead this summer. Because it went ahead last summer, and I mean, I would think that last summer should have been worse than this summer.
Yeah.
But this year I decided to start a company around it, so it's called Van Life Iceland.
Cool.
And that actually means traveling the whole ring road of Iceland in camper vans.
Nice.
And then what I do on these events is plan things like bonfire evenings. And every morning we maybe go swimming in some cold lakes or waterfalls.
Lovely.
And like last year, I rented a boat. So we went sailing for like a midnight sun sail and whale watching. So so this is what I'm going to try to do this summer. I mean, obviously, I'm not sure if it will go ahead. But this idea also came because of like a COVID-free event, you know?
Yes.
Yeah. A way to kind of meet other people, but also, you know, to be able to do it outdoors and
Exactly. Great. Like when everyone has their own camper van, you have your own kitchen and traveling together. And then in the evening, you just gather up on a campsite. So
lovely.
So, yeah, pretty COVID friendly.
Yeah.
That sounds amazing. So how do people find out information about that? Is it on Instagram?
Yeah. So I started an Instagram page, which is just Van Life Iceland, and also a website.
Cool.
And yeah, there are events in June. So my dream was really to host like a midnight sun week because the midnight sun peaks at 20th of June.
Okay.
So I wanted to do some like long table dinners under the midnight sun.
Oh,
so
lovely.
Yeah, let's see. I mean, if Travels isn't open, I'm just going to have to invite Icelanders.
I'm sure you'll have fun anyway, but it's such a convincing case. I think.
Yeah.
Well, brilliant. So yeah, if you want to find out more about that, definitely look into it. I just wanted to kind of ask, as a sort of photographer as well, like, if you're planning on going on one of your trips and bringing equipment and so on, do you have any kind of top tips for photographers who might want to visit in the future?
Well, maybe also because you asked about the seasons. So like, if I would be a photographer, I would probably aim for either summer or winter. What I forgot to mention is like, there's like these shoulder seasons, autumn and spring. And to me, that's a little bit like nothing at all type of seasons. There's like not green grass, but also not snow. So so the landscape can be a little bit more messy. It can be somewhere in between, you know, like muddy, snowy. So if I would be a photographer, I would probably not pick those months. I would aim for summer or winter. Autumn is actually really beautiful in Iceland. And then just try to plan ahead a little bit. And actually, I would recommend to photographers to have a camper van. So I like truly fell in love with camper van travels and ended up getting my own van. And that's also how the whole idea about Van Life Iceland came along. But as a photographer, what I found always is that I was out shooting and then the light became perfect and it's really late in the evening, maybe in summer. And then the hotel that I had booked was maybe 2 hours away. But I'm like, the conditions are perfect here and they're only going to start becoming better. And maybe my check-in is closing. So I have to rush away. Yeah. So that's when I started traveling more in camper vans. And then I would just allow myself to maybe take a nap, wait for the sunset, cook dinner. And then the perfect light conditions come out. You go out and shoot it. You have all your equipment in the van. And then jump back into the van and find a place to sleep. Like, I just really love the flexibility of it.
Yeah, it sounds wonderful.
Yeah,
I mean, I think I remember, Lucy, on a sort of old podcast, we talked to Ben, who's in our team, about this too, where he said he woke up at, what, 2 or 3 a.m. or something like that to try and get the perfect shot.
Yeah.
And having a camper van just allows that extra flexibility, really. And,
It really does.
So then aside from van life, do you have any other projects going on, Elsa? What else in the world of photography and Iceland have you got going on?
Yeah, so projects that are coming up. So this month I will be going sailing in the Westfjords.
Cool.
So I'm really excited about that. It's we're going to take a boat and sail to one of the most remote areas of Iceland. So that is actually... It's like a sail to ski trip. So you sail during the day and then you take like mountain ski equipment and hike up and ski down. Wow. So that's going to be a great adventure. I think I might also be going on a sailing trip in May inside of Iceland. That's a really cool company that is a non-profit organization. They're trying to fight for like ocean conservatory. Iceland has so many whales that we need to protect and they have very important breeding grounds. So that project is sort of to aim on raising awareness about that. And they're also doing some like microplastic surveys from the ocean. So they're like seeing if there's microplastic in the ocean outside of Iceland.
Yeah.
And then the summer is kind of like not that planned, but obviously I have a few weeks of Van Life Iceland. So, it's just more adventures in Iceland and always trying to find some fun adventures.
Great.
Sounds ideal.
So cool.
So many more plans than my own.
I know.
Not jealous at all.
You just come and work remotely from Iceland.
I think that's it, isn't it? That's the secret.
I think we might just have to do that. So it's been fantastic having you speak to us today. Please now go off and chase your volcano.
Thank you.
Giving us that snapshot into life in Iceland is it's stunning
and refreshing.
You know, please do check out Elsa on Instagram. It's Elsa Stainers at Elsa Stainers. her pictures are magical. Yeah. So yeah, it's for more of a kind of window into the world of Iceland.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you so much for having me.
And yeah, thank you.
I've been coming on now,
so. Refreshing the volcano news a little bit. It hasn't happened yet, but they're on some critical meeting that is broadcasted live.
Okay.
So you guys
I'm glad we haven't held you up.
Yes, definitely.
But you guys should stay updated to see if there's an eruption.
Will do. Well, good luck with that, and yeah, fantastic speaking to you, and hopefully we'll speak to you again very soon.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
So once again, a huge thank you to Elsa. Oh,
that was so fascinating. I cannot wait to go to Iceland.
It was brilliant, wasn't it? And another one for your list, Lucy. We said it at the start of the episode and it has happened, inevitably.
No surprises.
Striking, evocative and wild, Iceland's magnificent fjords, smouldering volcanoes, thunderous waterfalls and seething geysers never fail to capture the imagination with their raw beauty and rugged splendour. Your DK Eyewitness Top 10 Travel Guide ensures you'll find your way around the land of fire and ice with absolute ease. Find it at all good retailers or via the link in our episode bio.
And once again, a huge, huge thank you to Elsa for this week's episode.
And next time, we join us where we'll be discussing Tokyo with travel writer Lucy Damon. So Lucy has been working with our Lucy.
Yes.
on our like local series. She's been doing like a local Tokyo.
Correct.
Which is coming out later this year.
Yes.
Watch this space.
Yes.
And it's going to be a bit different to Iceland.
Yeah.
A sort of different land of contrasts, really. Whereas Iceland is a land of like geographical contrast, Tokyo is more about sort of tradition versus culture, modern versus old, and so on.
Yeah.
It's going to be brilliant. I'm really looking forward to it. And I know Lucy is a fantastic writer and speaker about things
as well.
Yes, I'm
looking forward to chatting all things Tokyo with her. It'll be great.
So we'll look forward to seeing you then. Thank you so much for joining us. And thanks to you, Lucy.
Thank you too. See you next week.
See you next week.
Where to Go was produced by the team at DK Witness and presented by Lucy Richards and James Atkinson. For more information about DK Witness, follow us on social media at DK Witness or visit dk.com/eyewitness.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.